Brother Richard Donalds was telling me today that he had a night vision, and in the night vision, we apparently was tearing down this archway out here, building a huge all cement archway. So maybe that has a significance, and that there may be something that God is doing in the maybe not a reconstruction, but it might be something else. You know, there is no end to the wonderful blessings of God and the wonderful knowledge of God. There's certainly an end to the things of God. The Bible teaches that the things of God have an end. That is, they all fit together. With Satan, there is no end to his, because it is just one big confusion, ever learning and never able to arrive at any truth or any set way of explanation. But with God, it's not like that. You may learn today, you may learn tomorrow, you may learn the next day. But everything that you learn will fit together beautifully like a puzzle, and it will make sense, and it will lead you from glory to glory into the greater fields of activity for Christ and the greater things for God. So then it is such a thrill to get into the mind of Christ and to get into the glories of God, into the wonderful things of Jesus. I always enjoy so much reading the wonderful Word of God. Found in the 8th chapter of the book of Revelation, if you've got your Bibles, beginning down at the first verse, "And when he had opened the 7th seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And I saw the 7 angels which stood before God, and to them were given 7 trumpets, and another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there were given unto him much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints, upon the golden altar which was before the throne, and the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth, and there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. And the 7 angels which had the 7 trumpets prepared themselves to sound." You know, just a few nights ago, we talked to you about some of these things and took just a little bit of time to elaborate concerning these things, hoping that in talking with you about the wonderful things of God from the book of Revelation, that you might take it into your life and into your heart, that it might find a place in your life and heart, that it might cause you to grow up into a greater Christian and a greater understanding. I say so often that at this time of life, I don't hardly believe that anybody that has any reasoning, whether Christian or otherwise, would deny the fact that the coming of the Lord is nearby. I believe that most every person would acknowledge that the coming of the Lord is not far away. And most assuredly, those that are at Bethlehem that have heard the different things that has been said and understood the different things that have been taking place, I feel reasonably sure that they, of all people, would understand that the end is at hand. Jesus spoke of so many things, and he said, "And when you see all of these things come to pass, know that it's nigh even at the door." And we're the people that are beginning to see all of these things take place. And inasmuch as all of these things are beginning to fit together, it means that the coming of the Lord is at hand. Now, when we come to church, we have gathered together again for the purpose of growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord to understand the ways of God. We haven't just come to church again for another weekend service, for another fellowship, for another refreshing in the Lord. All of this we do, all of this we enjoy, all of this we are partakers of. But that isn't why we came. We came together so that we could once again
have our pure mind stirred up to be enlightened again, to be made aware of again, that the coming of the Lord is at hand. And that if there is any deficiency on our part toward performing the will of God in our life, then we are here for the purpose to understand what it is and how that we should go about to correct it, that we can have a full, wholesome life in God and be ready at the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus. It is a true fact that there is trouble such as had never been, never in the history of mankind. Never before has there ever been such a time as this. And there's a lot of people that are believing that there's going to be peace. They have convinced themselves that because of the treaty that Israel has signed, that that is a good sign that we're going to have peace. But I'll tell you something, brothers and sisters, that's the best sign that I know of that we're not going to have any peace. What Israel did is a positive sign that we are not going to have peace. But the Bible says when they cry peace, then sudden destruction shall come upon them as a woman that's in travail with child. So then there isn't going to be any peace. Now, you say, Brother Pike, why do you say there's not going to be any peace? And who made you an authority so that you have the voice to say that there's not going to be any peace? What I'm saying, I base it on God's Word. I can prove it by God's Word. That there will be no peace, for the Bible says there is no peace to the wicked. And the people of this world have become more wicked than ever before. Don't you agree to that? How can people who are more wretched and more wicked than ever before have peace? There's just no way that they can have peace. There is no peace to the wicked. The Bible said that they're like the troubled waters of the sea, that's ever casting their mire up upon the bank. And I will pursue the wicked, he said, until they perish from off of the face of the earth. Do you know that if God should give peace, if he should do that which he won't, but if he should give peace to the nations and they got at peace with each other, they could not be at peace with God. God himself would wage war against them, and God himself would pursue them until they perish from off the face of the earth. So there's no hope for peace for the wicked in this world. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, we see where we're living, we see what's happening, we see what God is expecting of us, and we understand why that when I read this 8th chapter of the book of Revelation, why it is that the Bible said this angel took this censer at the opening of the seventh seal, took this censer and went to the little golden altar that was before the throne of God, took those coals and put them in there, and took that censer and throwed it into the earth. We understand why that happened. It is apparent to me that here in the opening of the seventh seal, that God is showing that the time of the Gentiles are over. Amen. And that at the opening of the seventh seal, that God himself is waging war against Satan and his forces. And that when the seventh seal is open, that this angel takes that censer, for there has been 30 minutes silent in heaven. And this silence apparently indicates the blood coming off of the mercy seat, which means the end of the days of the Gentiles, that the time of the Gentiles is over. And everybody is standing in awe, knowing what is about to happen. So then in this, when we see the censer, and it's filled up with the fire of the golden altar, we realize that God is fixing to bring judgment in the earth. For just as quick as this great mighty angel took the censer and hurled it into the earth, just that quick, that lightnings and thunderings and earthquakes and all kind of things begin to happen. Now, what caused all of these thunderings and earthquakes? I believe, as I said the other night, that it was the bumming that took place. I believe that that is a signal that is to the powers that have control in the earth that they can move in when the censer is thrown into the earth. Lightnings, thunderings, earthquakes, everything begin to go topsy-turvy and begin to be torn to pieces. It's obvious that right now at this present time, that nation against nation, they're waiting, just setting on pins and needles, as we say, just waiting to hurl bombs at one another or to release their nuclear powers toward one another. Each one hoping to be able to get in the first blow that they can conquer the other force and dominate the world. But like Brother Branham saw in his vision before he departed this life, he said he saw America torn to bits. He didn't see anything left but just ashes. Everywhere and just broken up stuff, just all broken to pieces, just scrap. Everywhere. And if he saw that a number of years ago, and all of the things that has happened since that time is shaped up the way it has, then it's evident to me that we must be right at the threshold of what is about to take place in the explosion. That means that we must be somewhere in the neighborhood of the opening of that seventh seal, are somewhere in the areas of the action of that angel that took that censer. We must be somewhere in the neighborhood of it at this time. Now you that do not see invisible things, you could not understand. If I could not see invisible things, I couldn't understand. I wouldn't know what was happening. There'd be no way that I could define it in my mind. But seeing the different things that are taking place that I see, seeing the things happen the way that I'm seeing them happen, I know by that the end of the world is here. And I know by that something is taking place. I was talking to Brother Atlee Beach just the other day down here in the basement of the new house that they're building. And I made mention of how that at this time Jimmy Carter is trying to bring about a forced issue because of the energy crisis. He's trying to force the people to turn back to the use of coal, to bring coal out of the mines, because he tells us that we've got plenty of that source, that we got plenty of coal to use for energy, and that he's going to make the people go back to those sources because of the energy crisis. But you know, I see something in that. As I told Brother Atlee, I said, I see something in that right at this moment. The powers, the prince of the powers of the air. See, Satan has been enjoying the things that are heavenly. Satan's people have been enjoying the things that are heavenly. God working in types and in shadows. He's trying to reveal something to us. We who are spiritual judge all things, though we can be judged of no man, because we are righteous by the righteousness of God, and nobody can lay anything to our charge. But we judge all things, all people we judge, because we're the children of God. We judge situations. Know ye not that the saints shall judge the world? And I see these things and I judge them spiritually. When I look out there and I see that those people are in a heavenly realm and that they are partakers of those blessed things that God has given to the children of God, I know that God is angry with the wicked every day. I know that God has been angry with them ever since the world started. I know that he said, I will pursue them till they perish from off the face of the earth, whether it's a war, whether it's a crisis, whether it's a tornado, whatever it is, whether it's a disease, I will pursue them, God said. And I look out there and I see their great crisis. I know that God is doing something spiritually. So I begin to search, and I begin to look. And the Bible said, he that asketh receiveth. He that knocketh, to him it shall be opened. Every one that seeketh, he'll find. And I begin to search, I begin to see. The thing that pleased God about Daniel in his time was that the Bible said Daniel, down there in the 70 years of bondage, down in the time of Babylon, that Daniel turned his heart to God and he began to search. He began to pray and he began to talk to God. He began to say, God, make known to me the things that shall befall my people in the end time. The Bible said God loved Daniel because of that. God was with Daniel because of that. God spoke to Daniel because of that. God met Daniel and revealed to Daniel because of that. While the rest of the world wasn't interested, Daniel wanted to know what was going on. Today we have a record. Today we have a great understanding, even of the Antichrist in the last week of tribulation, because of Daniel. How that the Antichrist will confirm the covenant for 1 week in the week of tribulation in the book of Revelation. We see this thing all because of Daniel having a concern and wanting to know what God was going to do and what was going to befall the people in the end time. That's my heart. That's my desire. I want to know what God is going to do. I want to know what's coming upon the people in the end time. I want to see. I want to understand. And God said, Daniel, from the very first day that you set your heart to understand, I heard you and I purpose to answer you. You know, if we'd be more ready to hear, more ready to understand, more ready to try to do something for God, we'd have a much better life. But we're so prone to want to find fault, so willing to do the things that the flesh calls for, so unlikely to do the things that God wants us to do. But I look out here and I see those things taking place, and I think about the crisis that's happening. And I mentioned to Brother Adley, I said, Brother Adley, that is such a beautiful picture of Lucifer being cast out. I said, see right here at the at this July camp meeting right here that has to do with the independence. I brought it out one night. I related some things concerning Washington and the signing of the Declaration. The different things, I brought it out to show what was happening here in a typical comparison. And I said, Brother Antley, right here at this very moment is such a beautiful picture of Lucifer being cast out of heaven. Right at this time, I said, knowing that Satan is the prince of the powers of the air, the ruler over those powers, and knowing that God, typically speaking, shows us the different stages of heaven. We down here, as the average people, we show one perspective of heaven. When we look at the middle class of people that's up in the other position of having power, even legalized positions, that is another step of heaven. And then when we look beyond that, we see over in Washington or in the parliamentary places across the world, we see another perspective of heaven. We realize that in that greater place that represents the third heaven, like Washington, and like the kingdoms of this world, where there's kings and rulers, that is a legislative place that's likened to the third heaven. We realize that when we look at it through spiritual eyes. And we know that those laws are usually passed, virtuous laws, or by virtue of virtuous people. And because of the need of the people. And they're usually the right kind of laws, as long as the government is the right kind of government. But when those laws are enacted by Congress, when they are brought down to a legalized action so that they are a constraint to the people, it is in the second realm that Satan intercepts those things. And the money powers intercept those things. And in the second realm, there's the war that's going on in that second realm, and they're wrestling in there. They're fighting in there. See, there's something that's going on in that place. There's a battle that's in that place. They're fighting in that place because it represents the second heaven. That is where they pervert the law. That is where they use it. The money men, the merchants, use it for their own benefit. That is why the church is always warring with them. Always warring with them. Because there is a battle. There is a great battle, a great conflict for righteousness versus unrighteousness. And there is a contest and there is a battle. And the Bible says that salvation being sent to the poor, it shows us that the poor, which represent the church world, that they're under the constraint of all of that perverted act. And while they're good lawyers, while they're good people, some that are spiritual, like for instance, I met one a few days ago. I found out that he is a full gospel man. Though he goes to a Christian church, which is not a full gospel church, yet he himself is a full gospel believer. And he is a lawyer of about 37 years old. And he favors what we're doing out here. See, there is good lawyers that God has put in that position. There are good professional men. And then there are perverted professional men. Anybody that is ordained as a power of God, though they may not be a Christian, yet they are still in that position for the good of the people during the time that this world and its program is going on. Those people God ordains. Those governments God ordains. They are helps to the people. We're to honor them. We're to be subject to them. We're to obey them. But then when perversion comes in, when the wrong kind of people come in, it's just like in the church. If you get the wrong kind of preacher, if you get the wrong kind of deacons, if you get the wrong kind of leaders, you got trouble. Because they turn it into a money gimmick. They turn it into something for their own benefit. They turn it into a machine, into a denominational power. And they depend on a numerical system, the strength of human beings, rather than on faith to do the job. Are you following me? So then there is a conflict in the middle realm. And that's where all your problems are. It's in the middle realm that we see the problems. The Bible said the woman standing on the moon was in the second heaven. That is, we know that. We see that. The second heaven. We spoke of how that the coin just come out. Right here at the closing of the age of the Gentiles. This woman with the stars. We spoke the other day. We was talking about the astronauts that have been caught up to the moon. How there's been 12 of them. And how they stopped with that. Why did they do that? And then we spoke about America being the woman. And in the book of Revelation, how that it was 12 stars that was over the woman's head. You know, human beings like a star. Just stand, stretch your hands and feet out. You look just like a five-pointed star. Isn't that right? That's the kind of star we use in America. You know, the woman, Grace. In Israel, they use the six-pointed star. It has to do with a man. But we see every bit of it shaping up to show us what is taking place. The Skylab falling, we spoke of it. Spoke of all of these things. And then we speak typically to show you the dimensional steps of the activity of the government and what they're doing. See, so that we can understand spiritual things. If I can get these things into your mind and into your heart, then you understand these things, then you understand spiritual things. Because by those things, you can work out the spiritual problem. Now, people who are not spiritual will never see these things. Paul said, I would like to speak unto you as unto spirituals. But people that are not spiritual, all they can understand is their five senses. That's all that they can understand. They want to eat, want to drink, want to frolic, want to feel good, want convenience, want comforts. But folks, there's got to be something down deeper or we're going to lose out. We're going to have another life because this life is going. It's going somewhere. Like our brother sang the song, to the dust thou shalt return. God said, from the dust, Adam, thou art, to the dust thou shalt return. That took care of the entire matter right there. That brought in the program of death. And man has never been able to escape it since then except through Christ. So then we've got to have another program. The world program won't do. Jimmy, in his speech the other day to me, I listened very carefully. He very carefully stated, very completely, made known that the government of the United States is gone. He declared in so many words that there is no respect for the president. He said, what we need is a new birth for America. That's what we tried to have at Little Bethlehem. He said that there is no hope for the future in the attitude of the people, in that they don't have confidence in tomorrow that their children are going to have something better than what they've got today, whereas in the past, he said they did have. Therefore, he said, you are not opening the door to the future. He said, and you are closing the door to the past. Is that right? That's exactly right. There is no open door to the future for the wicked. And the door to the past is closed because the days of the Gentiles are over and finished and gone. And the doors are closed. The energy crisis, answering back to the oil situation that we spoke of, at the midnight cry, all of a sudden, the foolish virgins became concerned about the oil. They were not concerned to start with. They wanted to frolic. You know, people want to frolic. They want to live it up. They want to drink. They want to have a good time. But when they realize that some dreadful thing is happening to them, that something is about to crush their life out of them or take their life, they begin to say, I'd like to talk this over. I'd like to think this over. My lifespan is running out. I better do something a little different. See, your life is the oil. Man is beginning to realize through this energy crisis that he's got problems. Tribulation is beginning to set in through an energy crisis. But then shall be great tribulation such as the world has never seen. It's all beginning to set in. The hippies, homes wrecked, virtue gone. People are literally going mad. Everything is all out of sauce. Can't count on nothing or nobody anymore. It's the tribulation setting in. Now then, let's just look at it for just a few minutes. The oil crisis shows that there is a people that have the oil, and there is a people that do not have the oil. Now, when we consider that, we know that America represents the woman. And the woman is the one that caused the problem. Come on now. The East still has oil, which represents the man. Isn't that right? So then we see that God is saying the fleshly part is running out of life. And there is no life that is left except that which is in the spiritual part, which is, we refer back to the East. We refer to it as back to the East. The male perspective of it. See, life is running out in the natural. The oil crisis makes me to know that something spiritual is taking place. When I think about Jimmy forcing the people to cut down on their energy, forcing the people to go back to coal. You know, coal comes out of a dark black pit where people get what they call the black lung and don't live long. That is to say, it's easy to understand that that censer that the angel took, thrown it into the earth, that censer represented or marked an end time for the people. And that the old red dragon, which is the blood life that's lived in the light of luxury, is being cast out of heaven. You know, I made the statement here a while back. I said, folks, you're living in heaven. How do you remember that? Amen. I said, Lucifer is in heaven. Lucifer's followers are in heaven. And the Bible said the old serpent has climbed up into the upper lintel. But though thou makest thy nest among the stars, from thence I shall cast thee down to hell. Though thou climbest up to heaven, from thence I shall cast thee out. Isn't that right? When we see Jimmy doing this, we know We go back to the name Jimmy Carter or J.C. or Jesus Christ. We see the things that are taking place, how he's rearranging the government, the resignations that he's asked for. We see the changing of the complete thing. We see the people that have lived in luxury and convenience and comforts by the means of electrical powers, by that which is a type of the Spirit of God offering its convenience. God, who offers himself to mankind in every form and fashion of convenience. We see that through electricity. I brought it out in types. Now we see that Christ is affecting that. God, the great Spirit that offers our life and convenience, withdrawing from the earth. There is a shortage of God in the earth. Do you understand what I'm saying? There is a shortage because of sin. There is a shortage because man won't follow God. They're wasting their life, wasting their substance like the prodigal did with riotous living. My wife can bear witness to this, that many years ago, when there was no such thing as an energy crisis, they had not even considered such a thing. I said, Betty, God revealed to me that someday that there's going to be a great crisis because man is going to use his substance up. Revelation shows it. I said, and he's going to be in bad circumstance because I said, God is not wasteful. And God has placed in the earth just exactly the needed potentiality. No more. Just what we need. And if we idly use it up, whereas the Bible said, redeem the time, for the days are evil. We're supposed to even redeem the time, not waste the time. Utilize it every way for God. Don't waste your time going to some silly movie, sitting around somewhere sucking on a cigarette or a weed, chewing on cud. Don't waste your time running up and down the road just riding to and fro. Make every moment count, every word count, every thought count. The Bible said every deed that a man does in the day of the judgment, he shall give an account thereof. And someday God said, I will judge your very thoughts by this gospel, Paul said, that I preach. Casting down imagination, every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity to the obedience of Christ every thought, even to the intent of my heart. There is a crisis, just as we saw it coming, they have done it. I said it'll be like the prodigal. Man will suffer. Now, the just is having to suffer for the unjust. Because of their foolishness, we have to bear the suffering. But remember this, that in seeing them go out of the places of convenience, pointing them back to the coal mines, it is a positive indication that Satan, Lucifer, has been cast out of heaven and is going back to the pit. Are you following me? Back to the pit from whence he came, to be bound that 1,000 years for God's new government and new peace that has been introduced into the earth. Everything right on schedule. Everything right on time. David Paul coming in is again that typical thing of the child caught up to the throne. That's why Atlee was taking the picture. He realizes that. Being spiritual, he wasn't going to let that pass by. Knowing that these things are taking place, knowing even our brother Walker that has to do with Moses coming over from Mount Moriah, the Bible said faithful in all of his house was Moses. Moses, at the time that he came down off of the mountain, when it shook, burned with fire, it indicated a law, it indicated a change. It indicated something that was taking place. You understand what I'm saying? Mount Sinai burning with fire. Mount Moriah having to do with Moses. You know, we was over in the Holy Land not too long ago. And we were over there at the Dome of the Rock. You know, they've got that dome built over it now. The Muslims have the dome built over it. This great, huge rock, they say is about 15 yards long and about 12 yards wide, about 2 yards high. This great rock over there. They hallow this thing. They count it something great because it had to do with the offering up of Isaac. But see, God pointing toward the promised Son. Hallelujah. Brother Walker being here, all of these things fitting together at this very hour to show us that something is taking place. The woman with the foot on the moon, the child has been born. The child has come forth. The child has been born. You say, what do you mean by that, Brother Pike? It has to be that way. If Lucifer's being cast out, if the convenience of heaven is over for the Gentile people, if this crisis that you see that's set in, if this indicates that the doors are closed, that the old red dragon, blood life, is no more in the presence of God. Remember, as long as the blood of Jesus is on the mercy seat, it indicates that there is mercy in the earth for the people. It means that blood life, which is human beings that even Satan lives in, can come into the presence of God. The life is in the blood. God has provided a way to protect life. But remember, when the sons of God, in whose blood veins Christ lives, when they come to the house of God and they come together, remember at that very moment, at that very time, there is also the image of Satan. Whereas the Bible said, in the morning I will despise thine image because thou art a bastard child, born to perversion. So then we see these bodies that are not sons of God, but beasts, coming to church. For when the sons of God came to present themselves, Satan came also. How did he come? In the hearts of his perverted image. And as long as there is grace, that perverted image can remain in the presence of God and can live right in the very presence of grace and enjoy the grace of God. That's why there's doctors. That's why there's medicine. That's why that there are all of these things to stop pain. Because it is heaven. It is the second heaven. It is the blood realm. That is water. That is one world. The outer courts. There is blood. That is the second world. The second heaven. The inner courts are the holy place. There is spirit or angelic beings that represent the third world. That is in the third place, which is the little 10 by 10, the holies of holies. Are you following me? But remember, when the veil was rent in twain, the little holies of holies was opened up. The beautiful curtains of the cherubs were separated. The ark of God's testament that sat on the inside of that little 10 by 10, all of a sudden he was seen because the veil was rent. If the veil today is rent, if the book of Revelation shows the unveiling of his testament in that Christ was rent in twain, the Lord separated from the Christ, the spirit from the body, then we know by that humanity, that is the church, that God has separated the body from the spirit and counted our bodies dead, catching our spirit up into heaven, translating it into the kingdom of God, so that he could not charge sin against us from the human body, that there is no sin to him that is born of God. There is no sin from the human body, because the human body is dead in the sight of God. That's how Satan gets in. As long as that blood remains on the mercy seat, every person that is under grace, through the grace dispensation, their body is dead in the sight of God. God has that blood covering. And they can frolic, they can do evil, they can do anything they want to and still dwell in the second heaven. But brothers and sisters, when that blood comes off of the mercy seat, you'll see the atmosphere change. You'll see their surroundings change. You'll see a transformation. You'll see a dimensional step down as grace and convenience and all of these things withdraws. And you'll see tribulation as it moves in. And you'll see the difference. And the light of the earth, the light of the world, which are the sons and daughters of God, will go out of here. They will remain in that glorious dimension. And all of those other images will only have intellectual reasoning, which is being filled with darkness. A world of darkness. Wandering stars that have no light of God, but their own perverted will. They will remain in that dimension, in that evil place. Satan will be personified. At this point, we see the conveniences being withdrawn. We see the rationing come in. We see sin so great, righteousness known everywhere. Light of the evening time for the church, but yet gross darkness covering the people. And that they're being forced back into the pits, back to the coal mine, as we say. Back to the pits, back into the darkness, back to death, back to the black lung. Being forced out of the conveniences of heaven, forced back into the darkness again. With that, we know that Lucifer is being cast out. We know that the beast is ready to start. Brute beast made to be taken and burned, heading up in Lucifer. We can see that that life is drawing them together. And I spoke of it a number of times of the constitution of the body, of how that it was the leopard, how that it was the bare paws, the leopard body, the lion head, how that it was the constituted image of what Daniel saw in his day. And how that it had to do with three things. And that was a recreational thing of the old Greek way of life. The spotted leopard body, Alexander the Great, coming from Greece. And how that the bare feet had to do with communism in Russia. How that was a government that the people would have to have. And that lion head relating back to Babylon in what Daniel saw when the lion was given a man's heart. A beast was given a man's heart. And we spoke of how that had to do with religion. For you remember that same man was converted and became religious down there in Babylon. And God called him the servant of God. Now you say, but Brother Pike, if he was a servant of God, that means that God saved the man. I like to think of it like this. The Bible said the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth forever. We're not servants, but we are sons of God. Sons of God. The Bible said he'd pour out his spirit upon his handmaids in that day. And your sons and daughters shall prophesy. But see, we are sons. We're not just handmaids. Handmaids are those that officiate at the birth. They're there to do a service. When a girl would leave home, they didn't have physicians in that day. She'd take a handmaid with her. But see, those that work around the altars and the different places, but we're daughters and sons of the living God. That's a world of difference. A lot of them shout and sing because the Spirit of God is poured out upon them. A lot of them prophesy because the Spirit of God is poured out upon all flesh. How can the Spirit of God be poured out upon all flesh? Because all flesh is clean in the sight of God to the extent that grace is here. And the blood of atonement is on the atonement seat. But see, just as quick as the days of grace is over, and it will be over when the blood comes off, then blood life cannot stay in grace anymore. Blood life cannot be in the presence of God anymore. Blood life cannot have mercy anymore. That means that second heaven is over. The Bible said the woman went into a wilderness. The child was caught up to the third heaven. Isn't that right? That's what's happening now. The child has been born. He's gone up into the third heaven. That's why Jimmy has to do what he's doing. Has to do. Why he has to do what he's doing. Up in the legislative place of it. Because it is typical of the man-child working up in the heavenlies, bringing Israel in through peace, working against China and against the Red Dragon, against communism. Now you say, well, I don't see where he's working that way, Brother Pike. But he is. He's got his own plans. You better believe that. I made the statement one time, it'd be the best thing that ever happened to mankind, the worst thing to the church. See, he's got his own plans. Jimmy's got his religious motives. Now, are you following him? He must be there. But see, that second heaven, that step down, that legalized position where law is enacted and where it becomes a constraint to rule over the people, that's where the trouble is. See, that was the priesthood of Aaron. That was the sons of Aaron in that holy place, that little 10 by 20. While Aaron's place was in the holies of holies. While the great Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, is in my heart. Then there's another realm. There's another realm. You understand what I'm saying? Let's look at it for a few more minutes and we'll close. It's just like the case that's coming up concerning our ladies at Bethlehem. Concerning the things that we had problems with a few days ago. See, Michael standing for his people. His name is Michael Jones, a lawyer, a full gospel lawyer that said he'd take the problems of the church out here. As long as it was the church, wouldn't charge anything for his service. See, the second heaven. And we spoke of ghoul. You know, you go back to spooks. You go back to the old serpent. As a matter of fact, the man, the lawyer, said to Willie, said, you've had one snake up here, said, leave that other snake alone. Referring to ghoul. I had made the statement because ghoul had stood up and said, I've got power, he said. I'll show you. I'll knock the props off Monday. I said, we'll see what God does. So we prayed. I said, God will take the props off under him and God will show him. So then God has already took him clear off the case. But still he's got problems because this lawyer don't like him at all. Michael standing for his people. In the second realm, there was war in heaven among the law. You understand what I'm saying? When Jesus went to Calvary, he took the law. He folded it up, laid it away. That there be no spots, no blemishes against the children of God. That which is old is ready to be folded up and laid away. You say, how can that be old? Because little Bethlehem has enacted a new law, a new government. And that's what government is. That's what law is. It's old, ready to be folded up and laid away. Look at Billy Graham up at the White House, the big White House. He stood up there. And he confessed defeat like the rest. He said that he knew he had a short lifeline. He was ready to go be with his natural father, sleep with him. His work was finished. See, folded up, laid away. But look at the little White House. Look what happened down there. Altogether different. That which is in Georgia. 12 years, Roosevelt, the foundation. See, that which was brought back to little Bethlehem. The foundational thing that we're speaking of now. There is a new government. There is a new law. There is a new coming in of Christ. The coming of the Lord. The revelation of Christ Jesus coming down into the earth. God's people caught up into the mind of Christ, the third heaven. The mind of man, one heaven. The mind of angels, another heaven. The mind of Christ, the third heaven. If you are in the mind of man of just do's and don'ts and eats and drinks, you are in the first. If you get up enough to where you can get a little education and go by the way of the tree of knowledge, you might get legalized and you might become a professional so that you'll be in the mind of angelic beings, an elevated condition, which is the second heaven. But if you repent of your sins, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, accept Christ as your personal Savior, you can get in the mind of God and be in the third heaven and be in that other dimension. Because as a man thinketh in his heart, So he is. So shall his surroundings be. Whatever you think, that's what you are. I said this a lot of times. You may think you're a rich man and you may be a pauper. You may think you're healthy when you're dying with a disease. But brothers and sisters, I'm not speaking of that. What I'm speaking of is if my mind has been programmed as a doctor, as I think in medical terms, I'm a doctor. You understand that? If it's been programmed as a mechanic, I'm a mechanic. If it's been programmed as a preacher, I'm a preacher. Ever I think in my heart, that's what I am. That's what I am. That's why I tell you, if you think as a defeated person, if your thoughts is thoughts of weakness, thoughts of fear, thoughts of frustration, thoughts of always not being able to handle the situation, that's what you are. A weak, contemptible person. But if your thoughts is like this, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I can overcome, I will overcome because Christ said it. If you really believe that, really think like that down in here, that's the kind of person that you are. A lion has a lion's heart. He thinks as a lion. That makes him a lion. He's got a lion nature. From the nature, the body is developed. You follow me? If the nature of the dad's passed down through the vagina, from there comes the image of the dad because it is the nature. If it is the seed that bears the nature of an apple tree put into the ground, then comes an apple tree. If it is the divine nature of Christ, and the Bible said we are partakers of his divine nature, then comes bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Then comes his way, his life, his world, his surroundings, his dimension. So then, with what we see taking place, we know that this is the hour. This is the moment. Everything is set. Everything is ready. God has prepared everything. Everything is just right. I spoke of a number of things the other day. I'm going to close out. But I spoke of a number of things to the brethren that I haven't related here to the people. Quite a number of things that typically have to do with this. Even the vision I had the other night when the voice said to me that death hath no more hold over thy ministry. As I said again, death being conquered, the veil being gone, the mud off of the church, the glass darkly, no more intellectual reasoning, the mind of Christ prevailing, caught up to the heavens. For when the man child went up, the accuser went out into the earth, wasn't in heaven anymore. There's been some things that's been taking place today. This very day that I've been watching the mighty revelation of God. Things that have been transpiring so beautiful, so magnificent, so mighty. The mind of the living God being made an expose in our hearts. That we might comprehend the heights, the depths, the width, Paul said, and the length. That we being enlightened. We, being enlightened, may comprehend until we transformate our minds into that great dimension that will affect our bodies to make us realize that the redemption of the body is here, for that is the catching up of the man-child. Remember this, that Antichrist will confirm the covenant for 1 week. 1 week. When the commandment went forth after the 70 years down in Babylon, remember, it's Solomon's time of departure. 975, the split came. 10 tribes went away into Assyria. By 721, they'd gone down to Assyria. Coming on down, we see down in Babylon, Daniel seeking God, trying to find out what's going on. While these tribes are split up, going one way in 606, Judah comes down where the crown departed from Israel. Comes down into Babylon. We see the thing moving on toward the coming of Christ. There, moving on toward our day. Moving on toward the last week of making the covenant. The 500 years in there that the angel spoke of to Daniel. And the building back of the walls from the time of King Artaxerxes. From the time that the commandment went forth there to rebuild under the Messiah, we see it moving on toward the Messiah. Moving on for that last week. Then the time of the Gentiles coming in after Calvary, we see it moving on to that last week. So then when we get down to the last week, Daniel says, or the angel speaking to Daniel, that he will confirm the covenant for 1 week. 1 week. What is that 1 week? The last 7 years of tribulation. That is the 1 week. And the covenant is broken in the midst of the week for the overspreading of the abomination that maketh desolate. Moving on down to the last week, all the way from the days of Daniel after the angel spoke of it, all the way down to the book of Revelation or the end time, this 1 week, the last 7 years of the 70 years that was to transpire, the last week, Antichrist will come in, but the church will go out. Then Antichrist will set up his week, and that week he will confirm the covenant with the people, only to break it in the midst of the week. And the midst of the week has to do with the catching up of the man-child, which is Israel, to the throne. Antichrist not being in power anymore in the middle of the 7 years. 7 years, the middle of the week. The man-child going up, the woman into the wilderness. Getting ready for the throne, bringing Jesus back to say, look at the nails. Look where I got the nails. In the house of my friends. Are you understanding what I'm saying? But that is the last week, confirming the last week to break the covenant in the midst of the week. But here we are in the spiritual perspective of it, already having come down to the middle of the week. You say, how can that be? Because the man-child has gone up to the throne. All of the spiritual types show it. That we are in the midst of the week as far as the spiritual perspective of it. The spiritual Jew, as far as his stride, as far as his walk with God, as far as his time element is involved. You know, maturing before the male, the woman, before the Jew in the natural perspective of it. Bringing in the woman part. We don't have time to go on that, but you know what I'm saying. In the middle of the week, the covenant is broken. In the middle of the week. That means that everything is on the verge of Lucifer being personified. That something spiritually is taking place in the church. And it is immediately after the breaking of the covenant that the book of Revelation records that the reaper came out sitting upon the white cloud that had the sickle to cast in and to reap the harvest of the earth, for it was ripe. In the midst of the week. In the midst of the week. I'm trying to impress on you in closing out tonight that this has to do with the middle of the week. The middle of the week. You understand what I'm saying? We are at a fine line in the revelation of Christ Jesus. We are at a breach over. We are at a very precise moment. It has to do with the separating time. The time of separation. And if you want to find out what kind of problems that the world is about to encounter, until it comes over to the Jewish perspective of it, which is well on its way to the tribulation period. If you want to find out what it is, just read in the book of Revelation where the Bible said there was war in heaven and Michael and his angels fought and the dragon and his angels fought and the dragon and his angels prevailed not but was cast out, which indicates our victory among the law or our victory anywhere, because the saints of God must rise, take the kingdom, and possess it forever and ever. And the changing over of the government and what we have done out here in this area indicates that that is what has transpired. that we have taken the kingdom, and that the kingdoms of this world has rightly become the kingdoms of our God, as was the charter statement when we first set it in order. And at this time, that anything can happen from here on out as far as the judgments of God, because the Lord has declared these things to be His. All right, let's stand together. All the way down from the time that the angel appeared to Daniel to the coming of the Lord, the things were shown in step as to what was going to happen. And it happened step by step. Each kingdom came into existence. Each one of those powers that constitute the beast was seen in Daniel's vision. All the way down they came. History shows it step by step. But each one of the powers that was in Daniel's day was the same power that is to reincarnate itself, as we would say, in the order of our day. Those that are not Bible scholars or that are not spiritual, maybe they don't understand what we're saying. But it's a sad, sad moment. A very sad moment. A very sad time. Jesus, in the Garden of Gethsemane, prayed many weary, weary hours, knowing that this was coming upon the world. He saw it. And he prayed weary day after day, praying, pleading, saying, "Father, keep these," always talking about the time of tribulation, when it would be such a horrible thing. You know, if we would pray more, we would have more strength, more joy of the Lord. We would understand more. Jesus spent weary nights praying. The Mount of Olives, Gethsemane is right there at the Mount of Olives. You that have been there, you've seen it. On the east side of it, just 2 miles over the east side of it, is Bethany. Jesus would walk across there, down to Mary and Martha's, over to Lazarus' place. Many times he stopped by the way of Gethsemane to pray. Pray for you and to pray for me. Sometimes I think we're like the story of Joseph. Joseph said, "When you get out of this dungeon," said, "remember me, I'm still in the dungeon." You know, and Christ has helped us out of the dungeon. But there's many people, he said, that are sick and in prison that you've not visited. In that I'll say that I was in the dungeon and you forgot me. But said, when you get there, Joseph said, "remember me." And I wonder, you know, now that we're out of the dungeon by the grace of God, I wonder if we remember Jesus. I wonder if we remember Jesus to help others. It's sad to know that your loved ones are going to miss it, all because of a little old foolish television show of a lot of foolishness and make-believe, all because of feeding the belly, can't get control of the appetite, all because of the passions of union between man and woman, all carried away because of frolic riding up and down the road. When it's all summed up, it's a whole lot of nothing. Just nothing. But men lose their soul over it. Women lose their soul over it. People go to hell over nothing. The beggarly elements of the world are in bondage to them. Polluted minds. Let's sing a little chorus together, can we? Anybody in their right mind wouldn't put it into their system to start with. But just to think, a man will sell his soul, go to a lake of fire, be cut off from water to quench that thirst that he so evilly has fed with those things that God forbid. just a little old bit of slop, if you mind my expression. Just a little bit of nothing. And you try to tell him to quit it. Oh, he says, I can't do that. To think that a human being would stoop so low to let a little bit of alcohol or beer or that kind of stuff that ain't nothing but something you put in your mouth, something he knows is going to take him out of his mind and cause him to do silly things, yet he'll put it in there and then stoop so low as to say, I just can't help it. Devils, yielding himself to devils, becoming servants to devils and letting devils have his mind to tell him that he can't order his way before God. Don't you know God's going to be upset at him in the morning? He said, I'll despise your image. When he looks at a human being, that human being looks at him and he says, you stood during your lifetime and said that you, a human being, that I made a sovereignty, could do anything you wanted to. And you stood and said you couldn't get free from some little cigarette sucking on a weed or some little passion. You can do it. You can do it if you want to do it. But you know you got to have some want to. That's where your hang up is. You got to have some want to. If you've got some want to, you can. And that's the way God's going to look at you in the day of judgment. That's the way he's going to charge it to you. That you didn't have enough want to do right. Draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh unto you. Resist the devil, he'll flee from you. Say, how can I resist the devil? The Bible said, submit yourself unto God. And then you'll have the strength to resist him. Okay, let's sing together. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. It was grace that taught my heart to fear. It was grace my fear really, how precious did that grace appear. Was the hour I first believed. While we're singing, I want you to come to the altar. I've been giving altar call pretty regularly here lately. Numbers of people that God has shown me that he wants to come to the altar and seek God. And I've been giving altar calls. Renew your covenant with God. Renew your life with God. Don't you love Jesus? Let God have a chance at your life. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first began.
God. Praise 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 God.
You know, you come here so often and you hear me preach to you. A lot of times you probably feel like, oh, how I'd love to be to where I never have to listen to that preacher again. Never have to hear that voice again. But you know, someday those that have listened and those that have been concerned, you'll be so glad, for it's not the preacher that speaks, but the Heavenly Father that speaketh from within him. And there'll come a day when the Bible said the voice of the bridegroom shall be heard no more in her. Tonight you hear the voice of the bridegroom, and the bridegroom is saying, come. But the Bible said the voice of the bridegroom shall be heard no more in her. No more at all. So be glad that you can hear it. Be glad that you can hear it. Don't ever ask God to take it away, but ask God to condition your hearts so that you can hear. Having ears to hear, hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. Don't try to close it out of your mind. There'll come a day when you will long to hear one of the words of the Son of Man. Jesus said you will long for the day just to hear one word from the Son of Man. But he said your houses are left unto you desolate until that day, that you'll be so glad to hear, so glad to see. You will say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Try to hear tonight. Try to understand tonight. Try to believe tonight, because it's a sad moment. Can you lift your hands again? Let's examine ourselves tonight. As I talk with you, examine yourself and say, Lord, am I understanding what the Spirit is saying? Am I understanding it? Do I understand what He's saying? Do I understand? Am I applying it to my heart and soul? Can I get my body under subjection? Can I cause my spiritual strength to defeat my outer man? Can I keep my body under subjection? Or else be a castaway, Lord. Can I do it? Want to give God a chance at my heart and my soul? Am I going to be foolish? Am I going to trade my soul for the frivolous things and the beggarly elements of this world? Am I going to do it? Am I going to lose out with God in the end? Am I going to lose out and take a chance of spending eternity separated from God in a lake of fire, to where I can't even quench my thirst, to know how horrible fire is, to know how horrible fire is. Oh, it's so tormenting. Somebody not too long ago, I heard, poured gasoline over their body, set themselves on fire. Horrible. One little burnt place is so horrible. A lot of times when I get burned or I scald myself a little, and I think about hell and the people that are already there and those that are going, and I find myself getting beside myself and just speaking out loud saying, no, no, it can't be, it can't be. But then I hear something say, but it is, it's a reality. I tell you it is. Do something while you can. Folks, Do something while you can. There's only a breath of life between you and the flames. Just a breath of life. If you're not right with God, there's just a breath of life between you and the flames. It's real. Once that's gone, it's too late. It's too late. They that harden their heart, they that stiffen their necks, shall be destroyed. And that suddenly, without remedy. That's what this scripture tells us. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Let's sing that little chorus, can we? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for that great day to come? When the sinner and the saint shall be parted right and left. Are you ready for that day, friend, to come? Can you sing it again? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for that judgment day? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for that great day to come? Are you ready? While your heads are bowed together and you search your hearts tonight to see if you're ready, we're going to ask our brother to come, dismiss you. I want you to think. One of the brethren was about to leave little Bethlehem. The Lord showed me here a while back that the man hadn't lined up with God right. And that his wife was getting the blame for it. And showed me that when his wife began to understand that she wanted to be at little Bethlehem, and God knows I've not talked with her at all, but the Lord revealed it to me. And that the man is not willing to give up the world like he needs to. And that he would break her heart to do what he would like to do. But I tell you in the name of the Lord, you've never seen trouble and heartaches like you'll see. And have blood on your hand if you don't stop and think and realize what you're doing. While you close your eyes with me, while they play softly on the instruments, I want you to consider the things I'm saying tonight. Call on the name of Jesus and ask God to help you tonight. I'm praying for you. Every day I'm praying for you. I'm praying for your healing. I'm still praying for Chuck. Caught a hold of the calf of Chuck's leg this evening. Caught a hold of it. I said, Chuck, I want to know if you can feel that as I mashed on the calf of his leg, not too hard, just simply mashed on it. He said, I can feel that. God is restoring the feeling into his body. Restoring the feeling. God is doing something because the saints of God are praying. That same God will heal. That same God will heal you. God is not upset with you. God doesn't want you to die a premature death. God wants you healed. God wants you to serve him. God wants to fulfill the number of your years, and God will do it. I'll be praying for you tonight that God will heal you. You just believe, Brother Taylor.